In our scripture reading for today from Colossians, the Apostle Paul has some fashion advice for believers, and that's good news for me that he's got some words, because my kids tell me that I dress like a dad, and I'm sure that's true. I've probably been dressing like a dad since I was 20 years old, and so I can relate to. You've probably seen these progressive commercials where they talk about these young men that suddenly start talking and acting like they're middle-aged fathers. You know, like I said, that's probably been me for a long time, but I take that as a compliment if somebody tells me that I remind them of my dad, because he's a really awesome guy. And so I don't mind. I'll own that. In chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul gives us his just before he gives us his sartorial advice, he lays out what has to happen first. Before we can take on something new, we first have to put away the old. And it's not as simple as just kind of hanging up your old clothes, and putting them in a closet somewhere, maybe putting them in the basement or putting them in a box. He uses much, much stronger language than that. And so he's really wanting to make a case. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. If we want to become the new person, this is what's going to be required. First, put to death, he says, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life, but now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. That has to go. And like I said, Paul uses the strongest language available to him, really, here. He says, put it to death, kill it, get it as far away from you as you can, because something infinitely better is now available to you. And then he goes on to describe what that something infinitely better is in verses 12 through 15. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Our theme for these first few Sundays of the new year has been this little light of mine. Just as Jesus came as a light into the darkness, that's what we talk about during Advent and Christmas, how the light has come into the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Now in the new year, we begin to talk about how we might then shine that light in the world. And so that's kind of been our focus for the last couple of weeks. And Jesus himself says that you're to be a light in the world. In his Sermon on the Mount, he says, no one after lighting a lamp puts it under a bushel basket, but they put it on the lampstand. It gives light to everyone in the house. And then he goes on and says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now in Colossians, Paul isn't using light as a metaphor. He's using clothing as a metaphor. But I think the idea is still essentially the same. Light, of course, reveals. It's easy to see. Clothing is something that we wear in public. It's the first thing people see. Sometimes it's the only thing people might notice initially about us. It's out there. And so I think what Paul is telling us then is, once we've put to death our old natures, that which keeps us from being the people that God intends us to be, then we are to live out our faith in a way that's noticeable, in a way that's very clear and evident to people, just like the clothes that we put on. Instead of anger and wrath and malice and abusive language, all of that stuff might have been evident to people in the past. Maybe that was our calling card in the past. That's got to go. Once that goes, now we are to put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The first item that Paul has on this list is a biggie. They're all important, but I noticed that he begins with clothing yourselves with compassion. Apparently, I've just done a little research on this. I'm not a big one on languages and Greek in particular, but apparently this can also be translated as the bowels of sympathy. And what's interesting to me about this, and this is something I remember reading about this before, in Western culture, we associate deep feeling with the heart. So we say, you know, for instance, we'll say, my heart was broken, or my heart was moved by something. But ancients believed that this deep feeling and sympathy and empathy that we might have for other people is located much deeper in the bowels. And we don't really think that way now, but we kind of get at it when you say, I've got a gut feeling about this or that. So we kind of get at that a little bit. I'm kind of glad that it's changed, though. I'd rather hear somebody say their heart was moved than that other thing. So compassion means feeling deeply with someone else. Calm means with. Passion means feeling. So when we have compassion, we feel deeply with someone. We suffer alongside of them. It's about really about being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and understand how they feel. It's really important that we develop empathy, that we have compassion for others. It's according to Paul, it's one of the hallmarks of the Christian character. It's an obvious sign that God is at work in our lives. It's kind of like wearing a really loud tie. You know, it's obvious because it's not the standard apparel. It's not the standard attire of the world. It's something different. And when people see us, they should see compassion at work in our lives. Kindness is essentially the same thing. It's the next one on the list. Paul says this is something that we should clothe ourselves in. And when we do, it's going to make a difference. People are going to notice. It's easy to hear and understand. In fact, Mark Twain once said, kindness is the language the deaf can hear and the blind can see. That's how obvious kindness is when it's present in our lives. And it should be present in our lives. Kindness can open doors that nothing else can. Doors for God to work in our lives as well. I ran across a story this week that I remember hearing years ago. True story. Long, long time ago, about a young man who grew up in a rural area, moved to the big city when he was old enough to get out on his own, fell in with a bad crowd. They were influencing him in a lot of bad directions. And one day he heard a preacher speaking, and he was drawn to this pastor. And eventually, as a result of that relationship, his life was changed dramatically. Later, he would say it really wasn't the preaching so much as it was the kindness of this pastor. The young man in the story was Augustine, as in Saint Augustine, who went on to become a major Christian figure, theologian, writer. And the pastor, his name was Ambrose. He was the pastor of the cathedral in Milan, Italy. And this is what Augustine wrote about him later. He said, I began to love him, not at first as a teacher of the truth, which I despaired of finding in the church. So apparently Augustine wasn't finding good preaching anywhere he went. But he said, I began to love him as a fellow creature who was kind to me. So kindness and compassion, they can open doors that might not otherwise be opened. And it can make all the difference in the world. I think it's important for us to remember that. As I read through the list of all of the other things on Paul's list, it occurred to me that all of these things, humility, gentleness, patience, these are all manifestations of Christ's love made visible in the world. When we are clothing ourselves in love, this is what it looks like. These are the virtues that people are going to see at work in our lives. These things also lead to community. and the unity of believers. And he goes on, after he talks about patience, he also goes on and talks about forgiveness and how important it is that we forgive one another. If we don't have these things, community is impossible. If we're not patient with each other's quirks and flaws, and if we can't forgive each other when we goof up, then community is a non-starter. It's never going to happen. It just isn't. It's impossible without those things. We have to have those things in order for that to happen. And for Paul, this idea of Christians living together in unity, even when there's differences, even dramatic differences among them, is one of his kind of clarion calls. We see it over and over again in his letters to the churches. It's one of his guiding principles, no question about it. And not surprisingly, Paul rings that bell again in Colossians. He really does it every chance he gets. And so we see it in verses 14 and 15 of what we just read. Above all, he says, clothe yourselves in love. So he's kind of summarizing everything he said before about compassion, kindness, gentleness, all of that, and says, clothe yourselves in love. What does it do? It binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. So the purpose of doing all this is so that we might be bound together in the body of Christ. And before that, just before that, he writes here, and he's talking about in the church, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And again, this is an idea that he keeps returning to over and over again. If we were going to translate that today, we might say, here there is no male or female, there is no Mexican or Canadian or American, there is no Democrat or Republican, dog lover, cat lover, I mean, you name it, there's going to be differences. We are in this together. And that itself is a testimony to the world. I went to a workshop. Some of you may have seen that or heard. I think I probably bragged about this to everybody at some point. I was in Daytona Beach 2 weeks ago now, and we were brought together, the pastors of some of the larger churches and the disciples, and they brought a speaker in named Alan Hilton, and the topic that he kind of pursues, he's written a book on it. He helps churches that are really polarized around different issues hear each other and love each other, and that can be hard. That can be kind of hard to do, and so that's what he was talking with us about. And his whole idea is that when we come together in unity, even bridging those big gaps that we may have with each other in terms of, you know, where we stand politically, where we stand on maybe certain interpretations of Scripture, those kinds of things, that itself becomes a witness to the world of the power of Christ at work in us. That we can be as different as we are and still bind ourselves together, be bound together by the power of Christ. And one of the things he pointed out that I loved this, and I knew I was going to use it as soon as I got a chance. He pointed out that Jesus called Matthew the tax collector and Simon the zealot both to be members of his team of disciples. And then he pointed out that Matthew was a tax collector. He was a publican. He worked for the Roman government, right? He was, it may have been a contract worker, but he was a part of the machinery of Rome. And we don't know if he was honest or dishonest. I'm going to guess that he was, you know, the fact that he was attracted to Jesus probably wasn't a dishonest. They weren't all dishonest. A lot of them were. But he was a part of the machinery of Rome. Simon the Zealot, on the other hand, he was all for the violent overthrow of the Roman government. They were as opposite as you could get. Extremes. When we talk about a team of rivals, these guys would have been rivals. And his Alan Hilton's question to us is, what do you suppose these guys talked about at night over the campfire? You think it might have been a little tense at times? I'm guessing it probably was a little tense at times. I'm not thinking that their relationship with Jesus would have changed everything about their thinking. I'm sure they went on and still had some differences of opinion about the way things should work. And of course, that's what true community looks like. It really is. It doesn't have to be that everybody is homogenous and everybody agrees on everything. Paul never, ever said that. Different people with different gifts and different passions, all working together for the common good, all looking to Jesus Christ as the Savior of their lives, all clothed in love and allowing the peace of Christ to rule in their hearts. That's what it is. That's what it's about. And the fact is, nothing else works. You get a group of people together, you think they all are on the same page, you're going to find out real quickly they're not, ever. And so the only thing that works is loving each other beyond our differences, looking to the one Savior. And when we do that, again, it creates a testimony to the world. It becomes a witness to the world. Ran across this quote last week, and I thought this was an amazing and wonderful quote by Madeline L'Engle, great fantasy writer, religious writer. She says, "We do not draw people to Christ by loudly discrediting what they believe, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all their hearts to know the source of it." That's what it's about. It's about being clothed in love. And people seeing that and saying, "How is it that you can do that?" And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that community too. I want to be a part of that and experience that and know that. So clothe yourselves in love. Allow the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts, because Jesus made it very clear in his ministry: "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have bound us together in love. Sometimes with folks that may not always agree with us on everything. And that's okay. We know that when we are working together, when we put aside that old nature that always wants to come back, always wants to creep in and ruin things, when we put aside those things and live and clothe ourselves in the power of your love, we can do amazing things in the world. And you can do amazing things through us. Bless us and be with us as we seek to live in that love always. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.